Okay. Funky.
Very fun. That's Clutch too.
Yeah.
Just without Neil singing, just playing guitar.
How many albums did they do?
I think they've only got two. Yep. It was like a self-titled one, I think, and this one, El Rojo. Or El Rojo.
El Rojo.
They always annoyed me with those J's.
Yeah.
Oh. The Mojave Desert.
Mm.
Oh. I don't want to fucking bother with that shit.
We say Mojave.
Welcome to Unpleasant with Adam and Milk. We're up to episode 12, and I know that for sure this time.
Only took you 12 episodes.
Yeah, I'm back on board. Well, 12 episodes for 2017.
Yeah, true. Just back on the Stoner movie topic. Mm. Remember the scene we coined? When we had bats in that tree, and I asked somebody the best way to get bats out, and they're like, you have to smoke them out.
That's right. I forgot about that. That would be a great stoner movie.
Just get
thing.
A couple of stoners under the tree smoking billies, trying to smoke the bats out.
I think...
Could it work, or is it too
it's possible. Well,
ridiculous?
That's part of the thing of the stoner genre is it's out. Very dumb jokes.
Mm.
it is all in the delivery.
And you can put any of the ridiculousness down to weed.
Mm.
It's the beauty of it. There has been no Australian stoner movie.
Not that I know of. There surely has been, but I don't know. I remember I had a conversation with a guy at work once about doing an Australian stoner one,
mm-hmm.
but it was like a Superman, a parody thing, and it was just called Super Cunt.
Yeah.
And he would just pull huge bongs before he'd do things. Like, people would be in the backyard, he'd, like, come down, dun-da-da, and then...
Yeah.
And then you just get fucked up with his mullet and fly away. But, you know, very dumb stuff.
You get some sketches out of it, mate.
Yeah, that's...
Probably not an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's the challenge, getting, like, at least an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, and you don't want it to be a challenge. It needs to be...
Yeah, exactly.
You need to be cutting things out of it.
Yeah.
We had that...
It's worth exploring, though, I think.
I think the reason we want to do a stoner comedy more than anything else is because it is so much... You can get away with so much more.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, Where's My Car? They've got that puppet of a dog smoking out of a pipe.
All of the Cheech and Chong movies.
Yeah, just really
everything
dumb stuff.
Out of those. Pineapple Express.
That was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
We had that one scene idea... Which I think what we're doing here is good with talking about it and getting it out there.
Yeah.
Because we probably not want to do anything with it anyway, because are we really going to make a stoner movie? But it's like a thing in our head.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea to...
It's a meeting and everyone can sit in. And you know what?
We should make that the tagline.
And you know what? They might bloody have a laugh along the way too.
We can hope for that, don't we?
Yeah. Now go on.
Some positivity from Unpleasant.
Can't always be unpleasant, I mean.
Yeah, no. We're two positive young gents.
It's hard to be so unpleasant when I'm upbeat and not upset
feel good about my life, having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Not upset about microaggressions or cultural appropriation.
No. Well, you wouldn't be. You're a cis white male.
Thank you for opening my eyes.
The stoner idea of... consistent drug tests, and it's like how they measure speeding, where it's in between two points rather than measuring your speed when you cross the line. So they just test what your levels are at.
Yeah, that's,
and so it's like month to month drug testing, and they're just like, but I only smoke on weekends or whatever, but I don't want to quit altogether. And it's like, well, looks like this time we're going to have to smoke every day to keep the levels up, all that kind of, like, very dumb setup, but very... Very Rob Schneider.
I very much love the MacGyver aspect of marijuana enthusiasts. It's very funny to me.
That that scene in Half-Baked.
Yeah. I've made a bong out of less.
I need a tin can, a thermometer, and a baby's bottle or fake nipple, whatever.
We haven't got a can opener. All right, get me a coconut, a straw. Are you sure? I've made bongs with less.
Very funny. Yeah, there is. There's ingenuity. Same with drunk people.
Did you say drunk or Trump?
Drunk people.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know. The word Trump might have slipped out. Might have been Freudian.
Well, that's what I heard anyway. So much. Definitely. I suddenly saw you with that red hat on.
There's. I remember a story of people. Somebody I know who went to like Sydney Uni or whatever, and there's like an island, just off the shore of where their uni is, and they made a raft out of goon bags, and then they actually inflated them all, got them all together, and added it, and like used it as a raft, and got to the island.
Yeah,
luckily they got there because they needed to get rescued. But ingenuity.
I remember that actually.
Yeah. I think Wollongong Uni, something like that. Anyway,
yeah.
Ingenuity of addicts, really.
Yeah.
prisoners.
Before the raft, they just used the goon sack as a pillow. But, I mean, rarely you finish a goon sack. There's still a little bit of padding. It's not that. It's bordering on ingenuity, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
At the very least. I mean, it's the best pillow you're going to have in nature. Isn't it?
The goon sacks. I don't know if goon sacks count as in nature.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're out in nature and you've got a goon sack, there's nothing else you're going to find around you that's going to be a better pillow than a half empty goon sack. I challenge you.
I don't.
We'll have to go camping.
No. I don't even drink. It wouldn't be fun.
No, I'll drink it.
Oh, okay. You'll drink the goon.
I'll use the goon sack.
We're
as a
adults
pillow.
Now. We're in our mid 20s. We can't be talking about
it. I haven't drank goon for a very long time. And you can try and find something out in nature that makes a better pillow. We got rocks and logs.
Sucks to be you, nerd.
Well, valid.
What started this whole discussion with me and you about the stoner movies was, I can't remember how we got brought up, but we brought up Doug Benson. Oh, that's all right. Mm. So Doug Benson is, I think he's 53.
Are you sure?
Wow. Like, if you want to, you can look him up.
Yeah, I'll type in him, really. Because
it does seem...
I would have said he was 40.
His eyes look in two different directions. His head's really swollen.
He's definitely boss-eyed, isn't he? 52.
52.
Holy fuck.
And he's a guy, for anyone who's unfamiliar, is at the moment the sort of go-to, like, stoner comedian.
He was in Trailer Park Boys.
He does several shows a week, like podcasts. There's one, his most popular one is Getting Doug with High, which is, it's a funny name.
Yeah, exactly.
He also does Doug Loves Movies, where he gets like four other comedians on and they just sort of do like a trivia kind of thing. It's usually in front of an audience. It's not too bad when he has the right guests on.
Yeah.
But I've watched... Since I watched the Tony Hinchcliffe one, I watched a few other ones of people I don't know. Oh,
yeah.
There's a reason weed isn't the go-to thing for performing.
Yeah.
Because it
cripples it.
Yeah, it disintegrates everyone into a mess. They can't sync up with their bits. Somebody's trying to be funny because they think it's hilarious, or they're trying... Or the audience doesn't give a shit because they're too high.
Yeah.
It really... doesn't work.
Yeah.
And all these shows that he does, it just made me go, yeah, you kind of just hit a level that he's just known as the weed guy. And so he just has to keep feeding that. And these shows aren't that great.
It's why Dave Chappelle moved on from it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And went on to bigger and better things. You can't just...
And then disappeared for 10 years.
Yeah. But at least he made the choice to. And he's not 52 still doing... weed all the time and complaining about Donald Trump on Twitter.
He doesn't have to go out on stage and
do a
like,
bong.
Do a bong. Like, it's, yeah, it's exactly. Like, okay. You're
that,
like,
what's that second when he's just ripping a bong and you can hear it bubbling and the crowd's silent? Doesn't he ever just go, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah, yeah.
52, like I said, 22, 32, even 32.
Hmm.
I mean, it's, yeah, it's funny. It's whatever. That's young. 52 years old. Just in that bong ripping second.
I think the same thing about Doug Stanhope, if anyone's familiar with him. I like him. I think he's really funny. I definitely rate him a lot higher than Doug Benson.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He's a very aggressive his comedian.
Specials are fucking good.
He's really good joke writer, really good storyteller. His story on Ari Shafir's show, if anyone wants to know a bit about Doug Stanhope, set aside, I think it's about 11, 12 minutes.
Mm.
Just type in Doug Stanhope. This Is Not Happening, which is Ari Shafir's storytelling show. It's on YouTube, and it's one of the best stories I've ever heard in my life. Not for...
Yeah.
You got to watch the whole thing. Watch it till the end.
He's fucked up, too.
Oh,
he's telling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is all the time, but that's the thing. That's where I get it. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, you're old and you're angry and he's telling everyone. His wife is... what's his name? Bingo or something like
Bingo,
that?
Bingo, yeah.
Yeah, and she, like, disappears for other people and, like... I'm like, you're... He does hilarious things, does weird things, amusing, but... You're a fucked up person.
I'm also concerned about his alcohol intake.
Oh, yeah. It's going to kill him.
He will die from alcohol. His liver will fail. That's it.
So what happened to his mum.
Yeah, exactly.
And then him and like his sister or
him
brother.
Him and his
whatever.
Brother helped her overdose.
Yeah.
That's a good story, actually.
Yeah, his book's called Digging Up Mother.
Yeah. And the original stand-up bit is one of the best bits you'll hear.
Yeah,
incredible.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But it is
it's a
horrific stuff.
It's not normal.
Especially, there's a photo, too, of him over her. All right, you're going to need to look this up right now, please. Look up Doug Stanhope. Why are they both called Doug? I know a guy called Dragon who gets called Doug.
Why is he...
So, Doug Stanhope...
His name's Doug and he gets called Dragon.
There's should be a photo of him hovering over, I'm pretty sure it's her deceased corpse.
Can you click on images? Because I can't really.
Once again, doing tandem work on the computer. Sorry, so just
I think I can
Doug
see
Stanhope
that.
Dead mum.
Click in the search bar for me. Oh, it's there. You're right. Thanks. Is she dead in that chair?
No.
Okay. No, I can't. It's
dead.
Not there.
It'll
be fucking somewhere.
I swear to God it exists somewhere and it's just him kind of hovering over her face. Like she's lay down.
Yeah.
Either dying or dead.
Yeah.
And his head is like sideways. You know how, what's his name? Vincent D'Onofrio or whatever from Law and Order would ask questions and he'd turn his head to the side.
Yeah.
He's like doing that and looking at the camera over her. It's so creepy.
Wow. I've never understood photos with nearly dead people.
Oh, it's really disturbing.
Yeah.
And man, it's happening more and more. This is one of the things that crosses generations because I have had older family members talk about it, like people in their 50s who are just like, some people post some strange things on Facebook, don't they?
Because,
like, you know, they're pretty new to Facebook and using social media as a thing. And they're like
they've gone a long time without it.
Yeah.
And now it's everywhere.
And they're noticing the same shit we are, where it's somebody who has a parent or a grandparent dying
usually
in the hospital.
A grandparent, yeah.
And they're taking a selfie with the person sick in hospital.
In the hospital bed.
And putting it on the internet.
Yeah, wristband visible. Will to live. Not pictured. But I mean, I can't imagine, and I'm very good chance I'm wrong, but I can't imagine the dying one would be a willing participant.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want to be photographed then, especially for something I don't understand.
And broadcast to hundreds of people.
And it's very, it's extremely impersonal.
Yeah.
In a way.
I would never imagine seeing somebody in the hospital and being like, let's take a photo, let's take a photo together. Yeah.
You wouldn't be getting your phone out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's meant to be an intimate moment where you're sort of reflecting on mortality and all. It's, you know.
I
then you go, hang on, let me just introduce this piece of technology and really take us out of the moment so I can take it to other people who don't care.
I wonder how long after the picture was taken before it was uploaded.
That day, definitely.
If they are uploading it while they're in that room, you need to go fuck yourself. Like, literally pull your body apart.
We're not there yet. Maybe that's the next step of ridiculousness, but surely we're not there yet. Surely they're waiting until I get home.
I don't know. These people are in that realm. It's like when they go, not all Muslims are terrorists, and you're like, we know that, but you're closer to blowing somebody up in the name of Allah than I am.
Yeah.
If you like Allah, you're closer to doing it than I am. So if that's what we're talking about, you know.
Yep. Anyway, it's a weird thing that I'm not comfortable with it.
I completely agree. People do very sick things. And that old person, they don't know the extent that that's photos going out there. They don't know where.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know that basically, guaranteed maybe, let's say, 400 complete strangers are going to see them. I've never seen these people before, but now the only image I have of them is dying in a hospital bed.
Yeah, in a thin hospital gown.
They don't really have any agency, do they?
I don't know. It's really, really disturbing. I think I know why.
Yeah.
Why it's disturbing to us. Because we make fun of things when we see them. And so we wouldn't do that because we'd go, we accept that there are other people out there like us. So we wouldn't take that photo and put it up there because we'd go, I don't want my, dying grandfather to get made fun of.
Exactly.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't do anything.
No.
But I don't want to. Why? What do I have to gain out of that?
He's got nothing to gain. I've got nothing to gain.
Yes.
Maybe a bit of, online sympathy love.
That's it. Online sympathy.
Yeah.
And that's from that doesn't count anyway because the person has no emotion in their face at all when they're clicking a like button.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're not, it's not human.
Yeah.
I think.
It's scary.
I've got to just, there's not enough humans around anymore. Just thinking, feeling, just being a human instead of just pressing things. Anyway.
That fucking show, Black Mirror. We're at the doorstep of that. Not with all the violence and the.
Oh, well,
horrific
we're already
deaths.
We're already
yeah. Now, so these are the type of men that we're referring to: Doug Benson, Doug Stanhope. Failure comedians. Now, show me this clip because I'm dreading it.
So Bert,
I can't imagine talking to him for that long. I'm just gonna get a drink while you.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so I'll fill everyone else in. You might have heard of Bert Kreischer, who is He's a funny dude, and chances are pretty high he's a major big-time liar who makes up large elements of his stories, but he's a great storyteller. His most famous one being the Russian mob story where he robs a train while on an excursion with his university in Russia and ends up involved with the Russian mob and robbing a train with them. Great story.
And they
really,
were calling
really funny.
The machine.
And the... Yeah, just, I don't know, it's weird that I'm handing out research assignments, but look up Bert Kreischer, the machine, and you'll see this.
Well, this is a lecture. It's basically an online lecture, isn't it?
A little bit of, just an educational tool.
Yeah. Part of the online university.
Rebel University. Fucking Thaddeus Russell is a faggot.
Yeah.
Hopefully people have been listening so that
everyone
they know
has, everything I've read about it has been... echoing, your sentiments.
Oh, the Joe Rogan podcast with Thaddeus. Yep. And it sucks because Thaddeus is a good name too. I like it.
Thaddeus?
I wish I had someone in my life called Thaddeus so that I could talk about my... I think that's why Joe has him on the podcast.
I suppose if they can get through their childhood with that name and then be successful.
Thaddeus.
Hard to argue with.
Yeah, it's a very strong name. I love it.
Thaddeus. No, it's not strong.
You couldn't be fat though.
You couldn't be anything except perfect. Couldn't be a nerd.
Well, I've got news for you, Thaddeus. Okay, so this is a little bit before the clip that I want to show you. The section that I want to show you. So he's talking about a little bit about Milo and the Leslie Jones thing.
Sure.
Now, for anyone who's unaware, Milo wrote a really harsh review of the new Ghostbusters movie.
Ghostbusters.
And he criticized it. He didn't say anything like monstrous to Leslie Jones herself, but a lot of his fans went after her, and there were some very unpleasant things said.
Yeah,
it wasn't the best. Yeah, and I understand why someone would get upset at that sort of thing. But he got banned from Twitter for it, blah blah blah. And I'm embarrassed talking about being banned from Twitter as like a bad thing. It's like this. This shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just where we're at right now.
I guess it's just because he was the first real high-profile one who was speaking, who had a really big profile and wasn't extremely obviously extremist or anything like that.
Yeah, he was just...
He was just spouting what some would say unpopular opinions.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's essentially what
he was doing. And doing it deliberately so. That's why I don't get how you can still be had. It's like he calls himself a provocateur.
Provocateur. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how to say that word. I feel uncomfortable saying it.
It's the A-U-E-R thing. Mm.
The cow was slaughtered in the abattoir.
I don't know how to say abattoir. Simpsons. Abattoir? I don't know.
So, yeah, Milo lost all that, blah, blah, blah. And everyone piled on board. All right, so this is... a little thing to give you a bit of insight into Doug Benson as this happened this year too, like within the last year. So as a 50-year-old man or as a 52-year-old,
so glad to be there, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But like I was saying,
that's Bert speaking now.
Nikki Glaser, I love Nikki Glaser. But you know, in like a little sister way, cause she's a lot younger than me, and I love.
Right, this will be worth that it.
Conversation okay. she did with Maren about he eating disorders for WTF, and I mean just everything about her. But she's been tweeting so incessantly about Trump that I was like, and then I was like, it's not my fucking. That she's allowed to do whatever the fuck she wants. I'm sure she gets exhausted going, Bert, enough about the goddamn machine. Like, I love you. You're a great comic. Talk about something else. Like, or, you know, enough about drinking Tito's on a plane or enough about your weight loss. Fucking, you're great, but fuck it. And I was like...
But you're already saying a bunch of different things that you talk about while saying, you know, that someone could get sick of it. You are talking about a bunch of different things. But, I mean, I follow 420 people, like, as a gag.
Yeah.
And also as a... I don't get people that follow thousands of people. You might as well just so open up the feed Benson, and just read so anybody.
We're about to hear.
You know what I mean?
This is the insight. This is all we need to know about.
And sometimes I go, who the fuck am I following?
Yeah. So I use that as a, you know, I want to keep it at 420. So if I add somebody, I really got to go through and find somebody to drop.
I followed Milo Yiannopoulos.
And it makes me reassess things, you know.
I followed Milo Yiannopoulos before he got kicked off Twitter. Like, because I heard
he got kicked off Twitter?
He got kicked off Twitter.
For what?
The Leslie Jones attack.
Oh, well, that was bad.
Yeah.
But now he's getting kicked out of everything because of being on Bill Maher.
Was it on being on Bill Maher?
Well, it wasn't anything really that he said specifically on Bill Maher, but it was just that as soon as he was on Bill Maher, it made people angry that Bill Maher had like a civilized conversation with a guy that they think is just evil.
So far, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he's pretty much described
he's
my
just like, yeah, that's it. All right. Yeah, and despite Bert calling him Yiannopoulos or whatever it is, he really fucked that
he's
up.
He's a fucking jock.
So, all right, it kind of makes sense so far. Yep. We're on board.
And so they, people posted tons of footage of him saying that it's okay to have sex with 13-year-old boys. He said that somewhere. And
now... That is stretching the truth a bit, but it's not. You got to look at the clips themselves. You got to listen to what he's saying.
He didn't say that.
I want to fuck 13-year-old boys.
He also didn't say it's okay to.
Yeah, he's just saying that it's common in the gay community for younger guys to have relationships with older people, like in their late teens, early 20s.
And he
like
had that experience, and it wasn't necessarily a bad one for him.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah, but listen to the clip.
Clip. And I can understand why people would go, what the fuck, that's fucked up. And I agree. Yeah. But it is. Anyway.
Yep.
Just is what it is.
So then, and it's funny, somebody pointed out that with Leslie Jones.
This is it.
he was being extremely sexist and racist. But as soon as he brings up a little boy being molested, then all the white men suddenly go, okay, we got to get rid of this guy.
Can you believe what you just heard?
So he thinks all white men are okay with racism and sexism, but at least draw the line at child molestation.
He thinks that... I took that as it was lowering... He lowered the bar down enough to go, oh, these horrible racist and sexist things. Oh, but a kid getting fucked? That is your line? Okay. I took it as that, as the, oh, so you'll jump on board now? What the fuck?
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. Yeah.
If that was really the deal, which I don't understand. I don't understand what his brain is telling him.
Mm.
I don't know. I can't think of a good way to express my views on this.
Mm.
That is an adult man going, what, all the white men finally jump on when it's pedophiles? Yeah, we are going to jump on board when it's pedophiles.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it didn't escalate any further than what it was, because it's pretty muddy, the thing that he was talking about.
Oh, man, I still find it hard to believe that he was talking about an experience that he had, and that, I mean, he just had a sort of vague opinion on it, and that's it, that he said drunk on a podcast.
And it wasn't like this was a big point for him to bring up in lectures and things like that.
Yeah. He wasn't touring this.
And the scariest part was the media collusion behind it. It put a lot of fear in me, that did.
Yeah, and it's not the only case of it happening either.
There was legitimately, I'm pretty sure if you go to Danger and Play, you'll find emails.
The dossiers.
Yeah, there were emails that got sent out to people who work at various news outlets, being like, all right, Milo, we're gonna do this now. We're done now.
Yeah,
and so they all got together. The same thing was happening at the White House press briefing.
Trying to do it with the AOK symbol as well. Remember, they sent. Yeah. Did you read that?
Yeah.
They sent out. You know, they said, what was it? Operation AOK.
Yeah, So. Here's the timeline. Actually, we'll do it in reverse. We'll say, here's the effect. So, I forget, it was Mike Cernovich, and I don't know the one woman's name.
I don't know.
They were behind the, like, presidential, like, what do you call it? I don't know. You know, they've got the curtain in the press room.
The thing you stand behind and speak. What are they fucking called?
I have no idea.
I used to stand by one all the time.
Yeah, I used to be underneath it. They were there just taking a photo because they've got the presidential thing there. People do that sort of shit all the time. So they did that with the three fingers in the air, with your first finger and thumb meeting to make it like an okay.
That's A-OK with me.
Yeah, to make a... Just that. They're both doing that. And that's been a running thing for a long time.
I think it's gay.
I love it.
Gang signs. It's just like gang fucking... Signs. But yeah. I mean, anyone who throws hand signs in photos, I mean, I know it's awkward. Photos are awkward. It's the same with the people who do fists or the fingers. I mean, just stand there. I don't know.
I agree. Yeah. It is odd. It is odd. I like it, though. It's just a funny thing to do. I think it's funny for me to do because it's very counter my personality.
Mm.
I'm very not into photos. I'm not okay with a lot of those fake things. So to suddenly be out and have like a symbol that I do, I think it's very funny. Eventually that'll stop being funny because it becomes part of my personality, and then I'm going to have to stop doing it because it ruins the fun. Anyway,
exactly.
They did this. They had this photo out, and I think it was the Huffington Post. There's a few people ran this story saying that these two people using a white supremacist sign,
hand gesture
at the White House. And as you can understand, people were a little dubious.
Mm.
And then it came out that 4chan, just, you know, an online community, they've been fucking with the media constantly.
They've been fucking with the world.
Yeah. And they decided, I'm going to try this. It was Operation AOK. And so they said, I'm going to, because all these Trump people, it wasn't just Trump people, but they decided to take notice that a lot of Trump people were doing it, decided to go, I'm going to convince them that that's a white power symbol. So they drew like white as the W in between the three fingers that are sticking up, and then the circle means power. And so they're doing this secret thing, and then they're reporting on it. Oh yeah. My goodness.
Fuck me.
And they're just what? Fucking with them.
It does my head in that people just focus on this non-existent, like, shadow white power government.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist, when they could just focus all of their energy on actually putting what they want to see change into effect.
I think it's too much fiction. It's too much movies, because they think that, like, they're going to, you know, they'll pull a book and there's a secret room that they walk into and they're, aha, you are a Nazi.
Don't tell me you don't think about that anytime you're in a big library like
that. I wish. But, like, they think that they're secret detectives and... Yep. If someone's a Nazi, like, there's a guy in America, in New Jersey, who just got his name changed to Hitler.
Really?
Yeah. And he is a gaunt-looking gentleman, too.
Yeah.
He is, like, he's wearing a full Nazi, like, SS uniform.
Yeah.
Or maybe not SS, but anyway, wearing...
That German...
Yeah, very, like...
World War II
like
military.
Like, Hugo Boss designed those... Like, the old guy, Hugo Boss, designed those clothes.
Yeah.
And was... wearing that, and he was like, he's skinny like me, and I'm like, don't be like, you just look weird, you look like a creep, and so he's just trying to get attention. Yeah And I'm like, there's a guy who actually does believe it, and everyone goes, Jesus fucking Christ, what a
psycho.
Yeah
Get Antifa onto him.
Oh. The Antifa, fuck. Alright, anyway, so that's why I'm done with Doug Benson.
I agree. I was done with him a while ago, especially when you're right now, even before the show, when you told me he was 50, I was like, all right, well, that solidifies my opinion.
Yeah.
Yep. Very bizarre.
I don't know whether we should dip back into politics or not, because I wanted to just bring up something real quick. The James Comey... situation. He got fired. Trump sent a letter, and there was this tweet is getting a lot of traction. And see, this is, I feel embarrassed saying this tweet.
I know these people on Twitter. I've slowed down heaps on Twitter just because it's a bit of an echo chamber, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, because you just, you know, you follow the same people. That's why I do. This is getting retweeted by people who I do follow.
Yeah.
So Trump's bodyguard delivered Comey's termination letter to the FBI. I've covered countries where things like this happen, not democracies. And
okay.
I thought about that for a second. I'm like, all right, maybe that is an interesting bit of information that was a bodyguard that delivered that, and not. And then they're like, why is he using his personal bodyguard still when he has the Secret Service? Blah blah. And then I'm like, well, hang on. You remember that woman who came out and said that she was part of the Secret Service and said
she wouldn't take a bullet.
Yeah, she wouldn't do it for Trump.
Yep.
So I go, okay, well, there you go. That's kind of an explanation for that.
They'll just get hung up on anything.
And yeah, that's what I mean. Don't make me like Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you attack the real things, attack the healthcare thing, because I can totally get behind that.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, why would you be fussed about him having his private security? He's the president. I mean,
Well, the thing about them delivering that letter is they're saying that it's unprecedented, that not even Nixon fired the FBI director when he was being investigated. It's like, yeah, but Nixon was guilty of a crime.
Yeah.
There've been hearings about this Trump collusion thing. It's been on for 3 or 4 days now. There's been zero evidence submitted.
Yeah.
There's literally zero.
There has been zero the whole time.
Yeah. And so that's what they're talking about. Okay. And then you go, okay, well, let's ignore all of that. Let's just say it is a bit odd. I thought it was odd about the security guard doing it. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But then you think,
well, who usually does it?
Well, yeah, who should? I don't know that.
We don't know the procedure.
Yeah.
There would be a procedure.
And then you go to the next level and you go, well, there's people in office jobs who aren't even like in the military or things like that, and they have to leave immediately because it's at a bank or something like that. If they're fired, there's, you know, time for them to fuck things up. There's a security guard there who escorts them off the premises to make sure that happens all the time. This is the director of the FBI.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a huge high level of clearance for information. that isn't that. Yeah, that I get that. But they're trying to say that it's this like physical threat against him or something. I don't know.
But yeah, like you said before, imagine what the power he has.
Yeah.
Surely there are precautions. I hope so.
And the I love it. There was a video going around of people like Bernie Sanders and I don't know, all of Jill Stein, these people talking about how James Comey should be fired as director of the FBI when he was investigating Hillary.
Yeah,
exactly. They all did that. And now they're all up and saying that he shouldn't do this. See, I just don't understand.
That's the beauty of Twitter. You can just go back and go, well, how come like 9 months ago you said this?
Yeah. And I'm okay with you changing your mind.
Yeah, I'm exactly. I'm okay with
that. But just tell me why. Swung you that way?
You have, that's power. It's nothing shameful about changing your mind if you can lay out the process and say, well, now I have new information.
Yeah.
My opinion's changed.
So that's what's been getting at me recently.
Very good.
It's still real to me, damn it!
What is?
Oh, that's I think that's all I've got. I didn't really come up with anything. I've only been getting annoyed at just dumb things this week. Mm. Just normal stuff like people telling, you know, when they say facts that everyone knows already and they deliver it like it's brand new. Like, a blunt knife is more dangerous than a sharp knife.
Yeah, that's right.
That kills me.
Yeah.
It fucking kills me to hear. I just want to take the knife that I'm using and just go, oh, is it? And then just stab the fuck out of myself.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sharpen it first.
Sharp knife, yeah.
Yeah. You fucking shut. Like, I understand what you're saying. I know.
It's just pointing out the obvious, I guess. It is annoying.
Hmm.
It's okay to be annoyed. It's like when there were floods in Wagga. And, I mean, it was obviously an issue. And people are just like, those levee banks are going to break soon. Yeah, of course they fucking are. We know that. Everyone knows that. They're obviously going to break. Fuck me. Well, since who's an expert on this geographical event?
Yeah, who's going to weigh in? Tell me some more information.
I've never heard you talk about the terrain or weather or anything like that.
It's interesting because some people could take what we're saying now as
petty cunts.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely petty. I'm okay with that, but I will defend this as not being petty.
Mm.
Because, and I'm okay with being petty, and I will be all the time. If you've listened to the show, you know I'm petty.
Mm-hmm.
Tom. Anyway, so I apologize.
Go on.
The this is a... I've lost it.
Fuck.
It's absolutely gone. No, okay, so we're talking about people that are stating the obvious.
Tom Petty.
Heartbreakers.
No, that's right. I won't back down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's him, wasn't it?
That was Tom Petty.
Okay, good.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. People, stating the obvious and this annoying you is not as a petty thing because it's not that they're discussing something new. It's not like when somebody you've known your whole life and they come out and they're just suddenly knowledgeable on this thing. I'm okay with that. It's good because they're learning more, whatever.
Yeah, encourage it.
But when they come out and act arrogant, like, oh, everyone knows this. We've known this forever. It's like, fuck off, you'd have.
Yeah,
you've read something recently. And it's that attitude that annoys me.
Yeah, it's the attitude that comes with it. I'll encourage knowledge and the expansion of knowledge. But, I mean, how much of it is just ego feeding?
Hmm.
Especially when they turn around. You know, sometimes they've just read it on a computer and come through the door and are now just talking about it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I like when people get excited about shit. But when it's just you try to do a bit of back and forth, and it's like, no, this is it.
Yeah.
That's hard to swallow, isn't it?
I've just started asking questions with that sort of thing now. Climate change. When somebody said something about, it was a friend of mine said something about the models that these scientists did, and they show that the coasts are going to rise by 3 or 4 meters in like 20 years time, by 20 years or 30, something like that. And I'm just like, they're coming at me with that information hard and saying that this is how it's going to be. So fuck it. And I'm just like, all right, well, How does that take into account like the tectonic plates and the movement of those? Because that has a tremendous effect on the weather. So how do they account for that? As you know, they can't predict earthquakes.
Mm.
So
well, you can't even sometimes can't even predict them when they're at. I mean, at all.
Mm.
It just comes. The 2004 tsunami. There was like no warning system in place, and there's no way to tell. Even if they had a warning system, there's no way to tell whether it's just a small ripple that stays under the water or a Boxing Day tsunami that reaches like four continents.
Well, see, that's yeah. what I mean. That has and that has an effect on the weather, just yeah. pressures and things like that. So I'm like, I just have that question, and it's like, oh, well, I don't know. And it's like, well, okay, but don't you don't know, but don't come at me and be like, oh, this is pointless because all this is going to be gone in 20 years' time anyway. Yeah. What are you basing? You're basing that off something and you're taking it to heart when you don't know that much about it anyway.
You have you watched any Bill Nye lately?
Oh, no. I watched that clip that went around of the ice cream thing about race.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh,
have you seen him on Tucker?
No, I have actually. Yes, I have. Well, just that little clip.
And what was that weird Trump thing he said at the end? Or did they not have that in the clips?
No, I did. I know the clip you're talking about.
See if I can find it because he has lost his mind.
Yeah, he's just.
And they're talking about climate change.
Hmm.
And Tucker is just, you know, as he usually does, asking a layman's question. And then Bill's just not answering it. And I think he eventually throws out the line, "I'm the scientist."
Yeah,
you know. Well, that's fine. If you're, that's fine. Then you should be able to explain it to me very simply.
Speaking of, it's great. We just talked about how much we like people learning and stuff, and now we're just shitting on a renowned scientist. And I'm about to bring up a beloved one because I fucking hate him now.
I know who it is.
Yeah.
NDT.
You know it. You know it well.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Just for anyone.
For you fuckheads out there.
Yeah, you fucking stupid cunts. What are you doing listening to this shit for? Fucking losers.
Grow up.
Losers. Get outside, you fucking stupid cunt.
Surely the Joe Rogan Experience is pretty good. Listen to that.
Yeah, what are you doing listening to this show? Fucking rubbish for? We don't even have a fucking website.
We're about to play YouTube clips for the end of it to fill in time.
Yeah, we're doing the... We'll review this. I got a bit upset at myself when we were watching or listening to that Bert Kreischer and Doug Benson clip.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, no, it's that thing of that we play a little bit and then we pause and then we break it down and then we play
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but that's how you...
It's kind of... It's hard not to, but I just don't want to do that all the time.
Yeah, well, you don't want to base the show on it. But if it happens, it happens. I mean,
yeah.
That's where we find half our shit.
Yeah.
In nice little easy-to-access clips.
Yeah.
That's what we're used to.
There's...
We can't play a fucking 9-minute clip. Just go Jesus. Straight to the end. Go to like the last 30 seconds.
So which one is it?
The top one, the full one. And if you click to the last 30 seconds, just take this in. This is a man. This is a fucking man who's gone off the rails.
Professional website.
Cucker Tarlson.
And so the climate change and the parasites.
You're using the language of politics. Look, you're not a scientist, as you know. You're a popularizer.
I'm
and
using
I just
the
think,
language
and that's fine.
Of economics.
But
so
I'm just saying,
you
look,
asked what it would
to the extent
be like
that you prevent people,
okay, did
if you,
you ask
prevent
what
people
like?
From having an honest conversation, you're doing a grave disservice to science. Don't you think that?
So you asked how long it would be before, what would the climate would be like if humans weren't involved right now, is that right?
Yeah. Yes, that's
okay.
Exactly right.
So
at what point
would
it
like
have
it,
changed?
So,
and I'm just saying, you don't actually know because it's unknowable.
So, this
so why
is
aren't
how
you
long
open
it takes you
questions?
To interrupt me, okay? It takes you quite a bit less than 6 seconds. So the climate would be like it was in 1750. And the economics would be that you could not grow wine-worthy grapes in Britain as you can today because the climate is changing. The use of pesticides in the Midwest would not be increasing because the parasites are showing up sooner and are the pests are showing up sooner and hanging around longer.
But that's also resistance.
I know that.
Mm.
They have to change chemicals all the time. We're using
exactly.
And we're using shittier chemicals now than what we were in the 60s and 70s. We're using way weaker ones because they banned all of those. So, yeah, we're using more.
Exactly.
I swear to God, this is the first time I've seen that part of the clip too.
Yeah.
What a load of rubbish.
Wait till this.
And see, that's a good point too that he asked of what would the weather be like without it? Because that doesn't natural change have to be a part of the algorithm that they're using? That part of the model would have to be, all right, here's what it is, and then here's the extension of it. You would have to account for that.
And the question he was asking in the earlier half of the interview was, well, Bill was talking about how everything was happening at an accelerated rate because of us.
Hmm.
And he's like, Tucker's like, okay, so what is it that we're doing that's accelerating it? And if we weren't doing that, then how long would this inevitable process take? And he just wouldn't answer it. It was just all this kind of stuff. Now play the rest of this clip.
Wyoming would not be overwhelmed by pine bark beetles as it is.
Right.
Because of climate change. That's how
so
the
much
world
of this you don't know. You pretend that you know, but you don't know.
I
and
gotta
you
disagree with you, sir. I really have to disagree with you. I spent a lot of time with this topic.
I'm open minded. You are not. And we're out of time, unfortunately.
So,
thank you for joining us.
You guys are the mainstream media, and I can tell you why they're leaks. Because the president has created two factions in his administration. They don't like each other. So they leak. It's not from the outside, it's from the inside. Carry on, Mr. Carlson. I'm sure we will cross paths again.
That's a very ominous thing to say. I'm
very glad that Tucker went from his weird open mouth stare that he does to just laughter. That is bizarre.
Like a psychotic fallout type thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very, very creepy.
How would he even know that? Although I did see a funny article that said it was racism that Neil deGrasse Tyson has been the popular scientist for however long, and then Bill Nye comes along and suddenly he's the science guy. It rhymes. That's why they put it there.
Yeah, Bill Nye, the science guy.
Exactly. Say it out loud.
He's been doing it for 30, 40 years or something.
For fuck's sake. Another Salon article that gets pumped out.
Rubbish. Maybe it's all gone. I'm trying to find the Neil deGrasse Tyson.
So why don't you like Neil deGrasse Tyson?
He's a liar.
Okay. And he's hard to listen to. I tried to listen to him on Joe Rogan. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, he's very smart. I like hearing him in short doses. I like to cut together clips.
Yeah.
But, he's a popular guy. And you've got to understand that's what he is.
Yeah.
And the same thing might even happen to Jordan Peterson. Once you become a certain level of popular, you become a bit more of an entertainer than what you do a scientist.
You've got to be skeptical as a listener, even of someone as seemingly genius as Jordan Peterson. You always have to be skeptical.
Now, here it is. This is Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he said this 2 days ago. Sometimes I wonder whether we are not smart enough to realize how simple our brains actually are. Excuse me? What are you talking about? This guy.
What do you mean simple?
Yeah, it is the most we have no. We know more about the universe than what we do about the brain.
Mm.
You aren't qualified to make pronouncements on every field of science.
Yeah.
And that's what it seems to be. People are getting annoyed at him for weighing in on things that he doesn't know about. Physics? Yeah. Fuck yeah. I'll listen to Neil deGrasse all day. I just love the replies of, shut the fuck up, you stupid nerd.
That's Twitter.
So simple, we have yet to understand mental disorders.
Mm.
And then a bunch of electrochemical reactions, really. Oh, that's a bit of a fucking reductionist answer. You stupid cunt. That only accounts for neurons. That's right. That's like a third of the brain. So
exactly.
There's so much more. And I really do think he just got popular because he was a bit of a meme. He became that.
But then obviously people would direct a lot of questions to him based on any field of science. And because he's that entertainer role, he's going to answer them, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's half the trap.
But that statement was just put out there.
Was that Twitter?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's just... I love it. I've seen those ones where they're like...
he could do better than to put that out there.
It's like it's Christmas time or it's New Year's or it's, countdown to when Neil deGrasse Tyson says something condescending about the New Year and our simple calendar. He does something like that and it happens every time.
Yeah. Yeah, it always has to do a reference to some obscure like just past tribe or something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess we can run with this, but these people you've never heard of use this obscure system. Okay.
Shut up, Neil.
Yeah, I don't care. But the beauty is you scroll past it.
Yeah, yeah, you I'm know. Done. Done with that shit. All right. About you? About time?
All about right. time, I think.
So thanks for listening. We will be back next week. I didn't shit myself this week, which has been pretty good. So Adam and Milk on Facebook or facebook.com/ Adam and Milk. Unpleasant on iTunes or mm-hmm. whatever your podcast app is. I don't know.
Podbean, if you will.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. So, and Adam and Milk on Twitter.
I supported the original US invasion of Iraq.